Okay, thank you all for coming in spite of the cold weather. It's good to see everybody today. And we have some festivals coming up in the next few weeks. Advaitacharya's appearance day, and that's next week, actually. Not this next week, but the week afterwards. Then after that is Lord Nityananda's appearance day, and after that we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day, Gaur Purnima. So, and spring is coming. Even though it may not seem like it's spring, but it's going to come very, very soon. And the material world is like that. It goes in cycles. Wherever there is birth, Krishna says, then death is certain. Wherever there is death, birth is certain. That's the nature of this world. Sukha, dukkha. It's like a, for those of you who study science, it's like a sine wave. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And so one has to be steady in spite of all these ups and downs. And Krishna says, Dukalayam Sasrantam, this is the material world of up and downs. Don't expect anything different. If you have unrealistic expectations, then unrealistic means something that's not practical. You'll be disappointed. We don't want you to be disappointed, do we? So we're giving you realistic expectations. Based upon the Krishna conscious philosophy. So let's chant Jai Radha Madhava first, and then we will speak a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then after that, there's going to be the book distribution celebration. Sadichan Narayan Prabhu, he is responsible for so many books, and his whole team, of course. So many books being distributed. So we are very thankful to have him here. He's a godsend. God has sent him. He's like an avatar. So, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dhagati. Gopi jana malaba giri bada dhari. Yasoda nandana braja jana randana. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vana chaldi. Yamuna tira vana chaldi. Jai Urat Umadava Kunja Bihari. Jai Urat Umadava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana balaba girivara dhari. Gopi Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Bharatare. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tera Panachanti. Yamuna Tera Panachanti. Jaya Radho Madhava Kunjabhyare. Jaya Radho Madhava Kunjabhyare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya All Siddhetta Siddhashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Maharshila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Nikichai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem se koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasti Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru Gauranga Shilabhopad Gajai Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhale Srimati Bhakta Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nivashesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Dejatarni. So this afternoon we're going to be reading and commenting from at least one verse, if not many verses, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita every evening at 5 o'clock. And it's slightly after 5 now, but every evening at 5 o'clock we have this online class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita that you're all invited to join in on. It's on Zoom, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, simultaneously. So you're welcome to join and hear the recitation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the explanation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So right now we're on the 22nd chapter of the Majjhalila. Incidentally, let me explain what the Chaitanya Charitamrita is, since some of you may not know. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a Bengali literature that was published approximately 500 years ago, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet, and the author is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and he resided in a place called Radhakund, actually Shyamakund to be precise, the Radhakund area, but his Bhajan Kutir was in Shyamakund, right near Shyamakund, and right next to Radhakund. And at a place called the Manasa Bhavana Ghat, which, anyway, we don't have time to describe what that is. But that's where the gopis used to bathe regularly. And he associated with Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswami most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami had spent more time with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than practically any of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. And so he knew more about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and every day Raghunath Das Goswami would spend several hours reciting the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, even though he hadn't met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was able to hear all these pastimes from the first-hand source, Raghunath Das Goswami, and was able to write them down, and write them down in such a philosophical way that Chaitanya Charitamrita is not simply a literature dealing with stories, but it's dealing with the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Lord Chaitanya, of course, is the Yuga avatar, and he came to teach the Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma means the process of devotional service for a particular age. Like previous ages, there was yoga. Previous ages, there was meditation. Previous ages, there was really, really opulent deity worship. Or there were opulent sacrifices. But in this day and age, it's Krishna Nam Sankirtan. And so that process of Krishna Nam Sankirtan was taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by example, and not only the process, but three different things, like Abhideya, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. That is, the tattvas, that is, the categories, the eternal categories, like who we are, which is really important. It's really important to know who you are, isn't it? If you don't know who you are, then you have some mental illness. You know, you see that sometimes with people with Alzheimer's disease. They go out, and they don't come back. And so the family can't let them out of the house because they don't know who they are, where they live. So basically everybody in this world has Alzheimer's disease because we don't know who we are, and we're wandering all over the place, and we don't know where our home is. Think about it for a second. We all have Alzheimer's in that way. So Sambandha means basically to teach you who you are, who God is, important things like that. You may think, oh, it's more important to know different things like who's the president of the United States, who is the past president of the United States, who will be the next president of the United States, anyway, you got all these different information. Somehow or other, our brains get filled with all this information, but it's actually important, more important to understand who you are, what your relationship with God is, what your relationship with the material energy is, how did the world get created, how is it going to be destroyed? That's Lord Shiva for all of you who don't know. And then there's Abhideya, which means what do you do about that knowledge? I mean, it's one thing to know. For example, let's say you want to make money. It's one thing to know how the stock market works, right? Stock market, bitcoins. You don't know. Then your whole life is useless. So it's one thing to know how it works, but then to actually know how to utilize it to make money is another thing. Don't get cheated. And then the perfection of investing in the stock market is what? Becoming rich. What is the ultimate goal of investing? To make money. So you know, you think the ultimate goal is to become a broker. That's what he was thinking. That's not the ultimate. That's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to become wealthy. So you have to know know what the stock market is. I'm just using a metaphor here. Don't repeat what I say. And then the process of utilizing it, and then ultimately, you know, what's the goal? To become rich. So unless we know these things, what is the use of our life? So that Sambandha means to know all these different categories and how they relate to each other. What's the soul? What's reincarnation, etc. And Abhideya means the process of self-realization, of realizing that, of ultimately coming to the goal. And the goal is actually going back to the spiritual world to be with Krishna. Or engaging in pure devotional service within this lifetime. You know, realizing our nature. That's the goal. So it's very, very important. So these three things were taught by Lord Chaitanya. And in this wonderful literature, which I'm sure you can get a copy of if you talk to Aditya Narayan Prabhu, right? We have a special deal on a copy for you today of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, we'll wait until Gaur Purnima. Okay. We'll give a discount even today. So So in this wonderful literature, which is written in Bengali, of course translated in English, you'll find all this information in the form of a story about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the particular section that we're reading right now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a section detailing Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was the eldest of all the Goswamis, the initial followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was like the guru of the other Goswamis, even the guru of Rupa Goswami. And we are all followers of Rupa Goswami. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that we are Rupa Nugas. We're followers of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami has written details on how to perform devotional service. And one of the books that contains the details which Srila Prabhupada elaborated on is called The Nectar of Devotion, which was originally called The Nectar, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of course, there's another book called The Nectar of Instruction, which is the Upadeshamrita, which is more basic stuff. So it's important to understand these things. Even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Shikshasaka, what is, there's no hard and fast rules for chanting the Lord's holy names, but there's no hard and fast material rules. In other words, you don't have to be of a certain caste or varna. You don't have to be a certain time of the day. You don't worry about the whether the moon is or the sun is going to the north or to the south. Just like some devotees tell me, well, if you're going to die, you got to wait until after December 24th. So, you know, one day, you know, be in the hospital and say, doctor, just, can you keep me alive until December, till the sun starts to go to the north? You know, just somehow or other, keep me artificially alive, put some tubes up there, you know, breathing apparatus. So there are no hard and fast rules when dealing with bhakti. Bhakti can be executed anywhere, and it doesn't really matter whether it's a full moon, a new moon, or no moon. Well, that new moon is no moon. Or whether it's the Purnima, that's the full moon, of course. Or whether it's your birthday. It doesn't matter, or what time of the day it is, because the process of bhakti can be executed everywhere and anywhere. But there are certain things, helpful hints, that help us come to the perfection of bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya originally spoke those in terms of his Shikshastika, you know, the eight prayers, like beginning with Chaito Dharvana Marjanam, which talks about how the chanting cleanses the heart of all the dust. And the eighth prayer culminates in discussing what absolute surrender is, just simply being interested in Krishna's happiness. So anyway, so Rupa Goswami gives us hints on how to do this. So Rupa Goswami's understanding came directly from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now we're going to be reading something from the Chaitanya Charitamrita after my brief introduction, which wasn't so brief. That I think I'll just touch upon this one verse. Can someone operate the mouse or the meese? Mouses or mices or mice. I know it's mice, it's plural. Anyway. So I'm just going to recite the Bengali and then we'll go on to the translation. I guess we can do the word by word synonym since you all can read. Hare Krishna. Okay, whoops. Hey, it just skipped. This is really interesting. This thing just skipped from one chapter to another. This is, hold on a second. The computer doesn't always cooperate with me. Sometimes computers also can fall into Maya. They're not perfect. All right, I'll just read from there. Okay. Ajnane vahaya yadi papa upasthita Krishna tandre shuddha kare nakareya prayasyata So we can repeat the word. Let's do the word by word synonyms. Agane. By ignorance. Va. Or. Horya. There are. Yadi. If. Papa. Sinful activities. Upasthita. Present. Krishna. Lord Krishna. Tanre. Him, the devotee. Shudakare. Purifies. Nakaraya. Does not cause. Prayaschita. Atonement. So the translation is, if, however, a devotee accidentally becomes involved in a sinful activity, Krishna purifies him. He does not have to undergo the regulative form of atonement. So let's talk about this particular verse. It's quite interesting. So first we have to understand what sinful activity is. I mean, that word has been misused in the Western world quite a bit. You know, someone's a sinner. I'm a sinner, O Lord. Take me away. Sin in this particular case means something like, it's called vikarma, something that gives you a bad reaction. Everything has an action or reaction. Of course, that's Newton's law. For each and every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So whatever you do in the material world, we're not speaking about the spiritual world, you have a reaction to. Like if you're good, you get a good reaction, and you're bad, you get a bad reaction. How do you know what's good and bad? Does anyone know? What? Well, we're talking materially now. Yeah, that's actually a good answer. She's a real devotee, we can tell. But I'm in the material world right now, and I'm not Krishna conscious. So bad things would be... Yeah, like, good, intelligent. So bad things are things that violate the strictures such as in the Manu Samhita and other Vedic literatures. Things that, let's say, harm other living entities, just to be very broad or very, just to talk about something that's very easy to understand. So then you get, let's say if I harm someone, I'm going to use the example of a cockroach. Let's say if I see a cockroach and I get angry with him and I swat him, then I'm harming that cockroach, right? That may seem something like innocent, well, you shouldn't harm cockroaches, or it's all right to harm cockroaches. And there are different punishments or different reactions for harming different types of living entities. Obviously, if you harm a cow, that's the highest sinful, not highest, but the lowest sinful activity, you get the greatest reaction. So that's what we mean by karma. It's called vikarma, activities that get you a bad result. And you know which activities get you a bad result by looking at the Vedic literatures, right? And then there are activities that give you a good result. We're not worried about those right now. So when you do something really bad, you want to atone for it. And if you do something really, really bad, you're scared that you're going to get one of the reactions that you see in the Bhagavatam, that you read about in the Bhagavatam. I don't think I want to scare everybody right now. But you can refer to the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has a lot of interesting information about sugarcane presses, but anyway, that are used on people. Anyway, so that's called bad karma. So you want to get rid of this bad karma. And in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as I said before, there's a lot of elaboration on bad karmic reactions. What happens if you do something bad? And so naturally you're thinking, let me atone for it. Now in the Christian world, there are actually certain monks and certain Christians who atone for things by torturing their body. One time I was in New York And I went to this place called Ripley's Believe It or Not. Anyone's been there? No one's ever been there. So they showed what the monks used to do to atone for their sins. And some of these things involved something called self-flagellation. They would take chains and start hitting themselves. I'm so sinful. You know, talk about a guilt trip. I'm so sinful, and they just hit themselves and make themselves bleed. Oh, okay, no more sin. Doesn't work. The reason that atonement doesn't work, and this is brought out in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that it doesn't get rid of the desire to do the thing. So let's say I was a kid. I was, hard to believe. But let's say I am a kid. And I did something wrong. What did I do? Steal cookies from the cookie jar or some glubjamins from the glubjamin jar or something. My mother told me not to. And she punishes me. That's not so nice. But anyway, she punishes. No more glubjamins for a week now. And so, okay. So for maybe the next week or two, I act pretty nice. Act nicely. And then after about 2 or 3 weeks, the desire to eat glubjamins is still there, right? You don't lose that desire. So then, when she's not looking, I steal from the glubjamin jar again. So the desire is always there. In the Bhagavatam, that's described using Sanskrit as the words kundra sochara, which means like an elephant who bathes. An elephant comes out of the water, bathes himself, and he throws dust on himself. It'd be like, or let's use the example of a child again. A child takes a bath and he goes and rolls in the mud again. Not very intelligent. So, therefore, simply this doing this prayaschitta, first of all, it doesn't get rid of the reaction. You can do all the good things you want, and you won't get rid of the bad reactions you're going to get. I'll give you an example of a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam that illustrates that. There's a story of King Riga. Some of you may have heard of King Riga. He was a really, really good king. He did a lot of good things, gave away a lot of cows in charity to everybody, to all the Brahmins, of course. And he got a lot of good karma. At the same time, he made one mistake. And one of the cows that he gave away wandered back into his herd, and he gave it away to another Brahmin. And the first and the second Brahmin who got the same cow started arguing with each other, and eventually they blamed the king. And because of that, the king had to become a lizard in his next life. So in other words, you can do all the good you want, you can do all the torture yourself you want, and you're still not going to get rid of your bad reaction. So prayaschitta, this is the term for atonement, prayaschitta doesn't work. You know, being punished doesn't work. You should tell that to all the parents. Punishing your child doesn't work. I'll tell you that again. Of course, I'm sure you're all happy with that. Isn't that true? It doesn't work. In fact, it makes the person want to do the same thing even more because it's fun getting your mother upset. Am I right? It's like a rasa, you know, like a taste of anger, a taste of getting away with something. I mean, it's actually fun to get away with something and not get caught, isn't it? At least I was. It was fun for me. See, she's agreed. So now you know. So anyway. So you don't get rid of the reaction. You don't learn the lesson. It's kind of useless. So that's why I don't advocate spanking children or spanking adults or punishing adults. It doesn't work. So what does work is the process of bhakti. That's why when you do something wrong. But in this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, repeating Lord Chaitanya's words, accidentally. Krishna also in the Gita says, Kantiya Pratijanahi Name Bhakti Pranashati, that my devotee will never perish in spite of, you know, even if he commits the most abominable action. And Prabhupada said that's accidental. If you do something on purpose, you can't get away with it by just by chanting. Because the chanting and the process of bhakti does eradicate the reactions that you're going to get from performing any sinful activity or any, you know, sinful, we describe activity that gives you a bad result. Rather than using the word sinful, it's just overused. You know, you're a sinful rascal. I'm a sinful rascal. We're all sinful rascals. It's a sinful world. Sinner repent, you know. So let's just say activities that give you a bad result. Understanding the scientific law of action and reaction, at least on the subtle platform. So, therefore, the only thing you can do is perform bhakti yoga. But you should not continue doing that same thing, because if you continue doing the same thing, it doesn't work anymore. So that's the process of bhakti yoga. You simply have to do it. Whatever your background, dina hina, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, dina hina yata chilo harina mudrilo. If one simply takes up this process, it doesn't matter what one was doing before. Tara sakshai jagai madai. And the example given by Narottama Das Thakur is jagai and madai. Jagai and madai are two very important personalities. Well, they became two important personalities. They were actually born in a Brahmin family, very highly elevated Brahmin family, but by association or bad association, they became degraded. That's another important point, that by bad association, one can become degraded. By good association, one can actually become elevated. Just like I'm doing a lot of, I hate to use the word preaching, but a lot of outreach at the universities now, and I see how much bad association there is for all the young people. If you want, I was just speaking to someone last night, and this person, she was telling me that she's not interested in drinking or doing any of the, you know, the breaking the four regular principles, at least some of the four regular principles. And she said, but then I have no friends. I'm all lonely here. No one to relate to. And I said, hey, here we are. I said, we could be your friends. And I was actually thinking this is a good strategy for presenting Krishna consciousness at the university. We actually have an organization where you don't have to engage in illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. You know, you can actually become straight edge, as they say. That's a straight edge means people who do music or people who are into modern world, but they don't perform any of these activities. But you see, there's so much pressure for people to do these activities. I mean, it's actually incredible. So, let's get back to the story of Jagai Madai, okay? Bad association. So they were good from a good Brahmin family. Their names were Jagadananda Madhavananda. And they had bad association. They became basically murderers, thieves, you name it. In fact, Yamaraj, who keeps track of all these things, he has a supercomputer with some interesting algorithms. So he has this, and he keeps track of, you know, you've been naughty, you've been nice, and he's not Santa Claus, don't worry. He knows when you've been naughty, he knows when you've been nice. You know, like that song goes. So he has some secretaries who work for him. He had Chitragupta, hidden secretaries. Anyway, so, and these secretaries, they just like got writer's cramp, or at least carpal tunnel syndrome. You know carpal tunnel syndrome is? That's a computer thing when you type in on the computer and you get all this pain that just goes up and down your arms like that. So his secretaries were complaining. I mean, there was so much writing that they blew out the pain processor. And in the scriptures, it says that it was a pile of information that was so big it could fill a bottomless pit. So that's a hyperbole, of course. And that's a way of expressing they were really bad. Really bad. They were terrorizing everybody. And what happened, to make a long story short, or a short story long, is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his dearmost associates, Haridas Thakur, and Lord Nityananda out to get everyone to chant Hare Krishna. That's all he wanted them to do. He said, just go out and chant, get people to chant Hare Krishna. No philosophy. That's interesting. That's interesting. Lord Chaitanya, his main preaching for people was just to get people to chant Hare Krishna. When there was a time for philosophy, he had to deal with Mayavadis or impersonalists. Then he can bring out the philosophy. But otherwise, it was just chanting. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udurilo. Anyway, so what happened is he sent two associates to just knock on everyone's door and said, chant Hare Krishna. And I'll tell you another story about chanting Hare Krishna in a second. But anyway, so they went to Jagan Madai, and first of that happened that Jagan Madai got real upset, started chasing them. And they were Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda were joking with each other. You know, Haridas Thakur was saying to Lord Nityananda, you know, I don't know what kind of a guy Lord Chaitanya sent me out with. You're going to get us killed. You're an avaduta, you know. And then he went and complained to Lord Chaitanya about it. And then Lord Chaitanya said, by Lord Nityananda's mercy, these two will actually be saved. So then they went out again, and at this particular point, Madai, one of the two, he hit Lord Nityananda in the head with a pot, and Lord Nityananda started to bleed, and Lord Chaitanya got so angry, and he got ready to kill this Madai, and Lord Nityananda interceded on his behalf. He said, you're not supposed to kill people now. That was the previous yuga. Previous yuga, Dwarpa yuga, your business was, you know, Vinashaya Chadushkutam, to kill. But this yuga, your business is to kill the demoniac mentality and to save people. So then Lord Chaitanya forgave both Madai and Jagai, and they became great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by the chanting of the Lord's holy names. So that's really the point, to get people to chant. I said I was going to tell another story. Lord Chaitanya instructed all of his followers to get people to chant. And there's another story about how one of his followers, whose name was Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, wanted to get the Muslim person who was in charge of the government, the Nawab Hussein Shah, to chant. And that's kind of dangerous. I mean, it's like if you go into Pakistan right now and you go to a madras and you want to get the guy to chant, you know, the mullah, the chant, and you go in right in the middle of a service, it'd be quite dangerous. So anyway, so he went to the Nawab Hussein Shah, and he told the Nawab Hussein Shah, actually woke him up in the middle of the night. He said, chant Hare Krishna. And then Nawab Hussein Shah said, you know, I said, I can't believe you came here. He said, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna. And then he became so happy, Gadadhar Das became so happy that the Nawab had chanted at least one time. He said, why wait till tomorrow? Now you're chanting the holy names now. So the point is that that's all one has to do, is chant the holy names and stop doing these sinful activities. There's no need of extraordinary measures of repentance. Well, actually, there was another story, too. There was another devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Subhuti Roy. Here's an interesting story. And Subhuti Roy, I was thinking of all these stories. Subhuti Roy had a servant when he was young, and his servant was actually a Muslim. And one time he hit his servant, you know, not too hard, but he left a little mark on the guy's back. Later on, that particular individual became in charge. He would become one of the Nawabs, and he became in charge of that whole district of Bengal. And when this Muslim's wife saw the mark on his back, she said, basically, you should punish this guy by killing him. And Subhuti Roy didn't want to kill him because he thought, you know, he was nice to me. Other than this one instance, he was actually quite nice. So what can I do? Oh, I'll punish him by turning him into a Muslim. So in those days, like, the conversion ritual was quite easy. You just sprinkle someone with water from your water pot, and they lose their caste. That was the tradition, isn't it? If you get sprinkled with water from a Muslim's water pot, phew, okay, I'm not a Hindu anymore. Of course, even the word Hindu, that, you know, it's controversial what that actually means, which has been used during the last 200 or 300 years, but I'm not going to get into that right now. So he said, no, I've lost my caste. What can I do? So he went to some Brahmins, and the Brahmins said the only thing you could do is just get some molten lead, a molten metal, and swallow it. That's the prayaschitta. You know, here talking about prayaschitta. Just swallow some molten metal. And he was thinking, that's probably not the best idea, because if you swallow some molten metal, you're probably dead. I can't think of how you would live after doing something like that. So he was thinking, what should I do? And then he went to the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they said, just chant Hare Krishna. You know, don't worry about these things. So these are examples of how the chanting of the holy name is the topmost method of atonement. You can't even call it atonement. It's the topmost method of purification. In fact, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's this interesting verse. Tasmat sankirtanam vishnor jaganmangala magmasa mahatama vikarabhya vijakantika nishkutam. This verse was recited, I'll translate it in a second, but this verse was recited in the context of a conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami. Now, you all know Maharaj Parikshit. He was getting ready to pass away after 7 days by the bite of a snake bird. And Shukadev Goswami was his guru, preaching to him or teaching him or reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukadev Goswami had just gotten finished talking about the punishments. And then Shukadev Goswami, finishing the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, was asked by Parikshit Maharaj, how do people get out of these punishments, these reactions? And Parikshit Maharaj was very inquisitive because he was compassionate. You know, a real devotee, when you hear people suffering, you don't think, ha-ha, that is so cool, they're getting squished. A devotee wants to save everybody. If you see someone, let's say, Prabhupada gave the example, if you see someone fixing the roof of his house, and he's going to take a step and fall off the house, don't say, let's watch, that's cool. I remember when I was young, there was one person who was attacked in New York, and everybody's watching from their apartment windows. At that time, there weren't cell phones. But now it's like that. You know, people use their cell phones, and they just take pictures of things. So Parikshit Maharaj, he wasn't thinking, oh, it's so nice that the people who are sinful get punished. It's so ecstatic. Squish them. No, he wasn't thinking like that. He was thinking, how can these people be saved? So Shukadev Goswami tested his disciple by giving him the wrong information. Sometimes the guru will actually give you the wrong answer just to see if you're listening. So he said, by prayaschitta, which is atonement, which we've been talking about. And Parikshit Maharaj said, no, it doesn't work for the various reasons we mentioned before. One doesn't lose his desire, and it doesn't get rid of the reaction either. Remember the story of King Riga? He had to become a lizard, even though he did so many good things. So tell me more. Guru Maharaj, you're wrong. So this also shows one shouldn't follow the guru blindly, because the guru may be testing someone. There's one time when Prabhupada tested someone. This is a funny story. Prabhupada, someone came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. And Prabhupada said, no, I think you should get married. So then a few days later, this particular devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want you to meet my fiancé. Just following your instructions, Prabhupada. So sometimes the guru will be testing his or her prospective disciple. So then what happened is that finally Shukadev Goswami gives the right answer, which is that verse I just recited. It says, Matsan Kirtanan Vishnor Jangan Mangalang Amasam Mahatama Vikaravya Vijakanta Kanishkatam. That the best method of atonement is Matsan Kirtanam Vishnu, is Sankirtanam. Sankirtanam means congregational chanting and also absorbed chanting. Song or song kirtan. You understand? Complete chanting, actually complete chanting to be precise. So, but chanting of what? Vishnor, Vishnu's name, and Vishnu and Krishna are identical. So Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor Jangan Mangalam Ahasam. It is the most auspicious Jangan or Jagat. It is the most auspicious Mangalam. Most auspicious thing that can be done in the universe. Mahatama Pikoravya. You should understand, O son of Kuru, because actually Parikshit Maharaj was a descendant in the Kuru dynasty. Even though normally we think the Kurus refer to the opposite side, you know, the Kurus and the Pandavas, but they were all part of the Kuru dynasty. Mahatama Pikaravya, the great souls advocate it, and the great souls do it. Mahatama Pikaravya, Vijayakantaka Nishkritam. This is the best method of atonement. This chanting of the Lord's holy name is the process of devotional service. So here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing this particular verse, instructing this to Sanatana Goswami, that you don't need to do all these other processes of atonement. You don't need to drink molten metal or lead. You don't need to stand on one foot. You don't need to get spanked by your parents. Krishna's not interested in spanking you. You simply need to take up the chanting in the process of devotional service. And in Kali Yuga, Ekon Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan, that's the one Dharma. That's the process of self-realization. It's very, very easy. And we have philosophy too, as we mentioned before. So anyway, so all this information is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you're interested in hearing these classes every night, we speak perhaps not so elaborately on one verse because this is the Sunday program, I'll do that. But we do reading and explanations on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you hear the Chaitanya Charitamrita on a regular basis, you will understand everything about Krishna consciousness, how to perform Krishna consciousness, and what it's like to be a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anybody have any questions? Yes. Yeah.
Many times we do things which are considered sinful. Like, also you gave the same example about cockroach. Like, we are now hiring a company to come and treat the cockroach in our home. And I treat them, whenever I see, I spray some mint oil or something so that they don't crawl over bhoga. They were that day on my altar. I sprayed them. They just fell dead in front of my eyes. And I, that time, remember last class you said they may be manjaris. So it's kind of always comes to my mind. So please clear.
Okay, that was a good question, one which I was expecting. So in the service to Krishna, we cannot avoid absolutely harming other living entities. Like you're aware, with the Jains, for example, they wear masks, not only during COVID, but pre-COVID too. Because they were thinking, they think that to wear a mask, you avoid breathing in other living entities. But as we've learned from COVID, the living entities can pass through the mask. Especially unless you have a K95 mask, and most of the Jains don't wear K95 masks, right? So, but just seriously speaking, even starting a car, you're cremating so many living entities. whatever you do, even eating vegetables, right? You know, a vegetable is life. Like, sometimes I'll eat asparagus. Does everyone know what an asparagus is? Okay. So asparagus is a living entity. And here I am killing this poor little asparagi. That's singular for asparagus, in case you haven't discovered. So everything we do in one sense in this world affects or may even harm another living entity. However, if we're dedicating our life to Krishna and minimizing insofar as possible, and it may be required that you have to rid your house of insects that may be dangerous, causing disease and so many things like that. So, but one should minimize that. Not that you take it as your mission to go out and kill every cockroach in creation. that you get a job with that, was that Truly Nolan or something like that? Some company like that. But we have to be practical in this world. If a living entity is threatening us or threatening our devotional service. What's that? What was that noise? Or threatening our devotional service, then we may have to take some measures. So then it's not a sinful activity. But Prabhupada actually said, even if one's a vegetarian without offering to Krishna, you're eating sin. Krishna says that in the Gita. It's not just Prabhupada said that. Anyone who eats without first offering to Krishna first is verily eating karma. I'm not going to use the word sin. I'm going to use the word karma. Because you're harming another living entity. We eat other living entities. Jivasa, jivasa, jivanam. So the whole point is if we, sarvadharma prichaja, as you know, 1866, mame kam sharanam braja, aham tvam savapapaibhyo moksha yashami masochaha, that if one dedicates their life to God, then there is no karma if inadvertently something happens like that. But you're not planning on harming another living entity. So these are extenuating circumstances. So it's a good question. It's a question that often comes up about, you know, obviously, whatever we do, driving a car, walking on the grass, breathing, eating, so many living entities are being affected, right? So that's why it's important for us to be dedicated to Krishna service so we don't get any reaction. And also, if a living entity happens to be affected, for example, let's take that asparagi, singular for asparagus. That is true. That is true. I'm not making up that word. So let's take asparagi. That asparagi that's being killed, so you can offer him to Krishna, he will become Bhakta Asparagus in his next life. Or Bhaktin, Asparagini, in her next life. So you're helping so many living entities by, you know, you take a flower. Of course, usually you don't kill the flower, but some, you know, sometimes it might be. And the plant that produces the flower, the fruit, gets benefited. So you're actually not committing violence. It's not sinful at that particular point. So does that answer the question? All right, I think we should end now because Aditya Narayan Prabhu has a presentation or something? Okay, he has a presentation about book distribution. I want to thank you all for listening to A Little Philosophy. Understand that we simply have to engage in bhakti, but don't do any deliberate thing that goes against the principles of human behavior listed in the Vedic literatures. And then even if somehow or other you slip and make a little thing accidentally, Krishna will forgive you. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Now we have a presentation from Aditya Narayan Prabhu about book distribution. Well, you have so many presentations. Yeah, make announcements.
Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. So first, let's thank His Holiness B. Krishna Goswami Maharaj for the class this evening. Zolyan Bhe Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Actually, it's wonderful we are hearing from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because now we'll have the wonderful festivals of Shri Shri Panchatattva, which is going to come. So our first festival is on 7th of February. So on 7th of February is the appearance of Shri Advait Acharya. So this Shri Advait Acharya ki jai. So it's on a Monday. So we'll have like Advait Acharya. Previous years we have celebrated, sometimes we have not, but this year we are thinking we'll have a program. So it'll be a more simpler program, but it'll start at 5 p.m. on Monday evening, and we'll start by a class. No? We'll start at 6 p.m. then, okay? Because of working day, so devotees can come. We'll start at 6 p.m., we'll have some bhajans, we'll be reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then 7 o'clock we'll have aarti, and then after that, simple prasadam. So it's a simple program, but it'll be nice to come, sing together, and then read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll start at 6 and 6 until 7:30. So that is on 7th of February. And the following Monday, so it's two Mondays, right? So following Monday is the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Hari Bol! Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki! And my experience is Nityananda Prabhu is like the most merciful festival of the year, and it's always so ecstatic and so blissful. So please do not miss this. This is 14th of February. We celebrate our Valentine by offering our heart